What a wonderful thing it is to know as a child of God that our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was tempted in all points like as we are. We read that amazing truth in the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. What a comfort that is, to know that our Savior was also tempted without sin. As Christians, our life now consists of many temptations. Saved by the grace of God and possessing the wonder of Christ's resurrection within our hearts, yet the child of God knows that there remains his sinful flesh, and we are in a sinful world. That sinful world and sinful flesh and the devil cease not to tempt us, to allure us back to the ways of sin and death. How shall we stand? Well, we shall stand by the grace of God, a grace of God that comes to us through his Son, Jesus Christ, through the Son of God who, in the days of his flesh, while he was on the earth, was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Scripture records for us in Matthew chapter 4 three temptations that our Lord experienced at the very beginning of his ministry. These temptations are set forth in the Scripture to give to us rich instruction concerning the beauty and sufficiency of our Savior Jesus Christ for salvation. But they are also set forth in the Scriptures to teach us valuable lessons that we need if we are to stand in the midst of temptations. For the Scriptures call you as a child of God. They call you in such a passage as Ephesians chapter 6 to stand fast, to take to yourself the whole armor of God, to resist the wiles, the cunning plots of the evil one, not to return upon any way of sin, the former life of sin, to leave that way of sin and to walk in a new and holy life. We're going to talk then in the coming weeks on the temptations of Jesus under the theme, Tempted Like As We Are. Let's look into this first temptation recorded for us in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 4. The first thing that we must notice is that an amazing scene had just taken place on the banks of the Jordan River. Jesus had come to John to be baptized of him in the Jordan. And we read that as Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God descended like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. A wonderful scene and a dramatic moment had just taken place, for the Lord Jesus Christ has now officially entered into his ministry, his saving work. But then, in chapter 4 of Matthew, we see that everything changes. The glorious entrance of the Son of God into his ministry, the voice of the Father from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, it seems as if it's all replaced by dark clouds, for we read, Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The heels of his Father's affirmation, and on the heels of the Holy Spirit's coming upon him with power, immediately he is led into the desert to be tempted of the devil. And why? Why this sudden change? Because you see the conflict. The conflict of the seed of the woman versus the seed of the serpent. Check your Bible, Genesis 3:15. That conflict is come. The Lord has come, as was foretold already to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He has come to crush Satan's head. He has come to deliver his people from their sins. We read that the Lord was led into the wilderness. Now, the wilderness was the high desert region in which John the Baptist was laboring. It was a remote and dangerous place. You must not think of the Sahara with miles and miles of rolling sand, but you must think of thousands of acres of barren, dry land, rocks and shrubs and many vicious animals, crooked and gnarled trees, sharp stones, lizards, and ravenous beasts. We read in Mark 1, verse 13, "And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him." The wilderness was not a populated area, partly because of the dangerous lions, snakes, and wild beasts which would roam, and human life was in peril. God sent him into the wilderness, not into some closet, not into some haven in the mountain regions near Jerusalem, not into some beautiful chalet, but into that place where the curse of sin upon the creation was seen in all of its darkness. We read that Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, and that's very striking. The word led is the same word used when he is arrested later in the garden, and we read that he was led away unto the judgment hall of Caiaphas. It refers to a constraining escort. We read in Luke chapter 4, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So that the idea is that his going into the wilderness was not simply a momentary feeling. It was not as though he came out of the Jordan River and felt a little prompting to go into the wilderness, but the Word of God speaks to us that there was a great influence upon him from the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit taking him and almost driving him by force into the wilderness. Not that the Lord Jesus Christ was ever unwilling or disobedient. He was able to say in Psalm 40, regarding all of his works, "Mine ears hast thou opened, I delight to do thy will, O God." The Holy Child, Christ, the Son of God in our flesh, knowing the purpose for his going into the wilderness, felt a revulsion, even to be tempted. And so the Spirit makes him aware that he must go to be tempted of the devil. When we consider what that means, then we understand why he is led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. No, I say again, it was not that he did not want to do the Father's will, and that there was ever a moment of reluctance in Jesus Christ to perform all that the Father had determined for him to do. But he has a holy soul. He is righteous. Let me read to you from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26, these words of our Savior Jesus Christ. "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Now his holy soul is to be exposed." The word tempted is a very significant word in Scripture. It can refer to a testing or a trial. And when we speak of temptation and trials, we must distinguish sharply in our mind concerning the intent. A trial is given by God for our benefit and to his glory, to strengthen our faith. And a trial always appeals to our faith. A temptation is intended by Satan and appeals to our sinful flesh. It's intended for our hurt, for our ruin, to bring dishonor to the name of our God. We speak of trial and temptation. A trial, then, of faith is any providence of God, any way of God's leading, which comes upon us, in which God is pleased to put our faith to the test, and in which God is pleased by his grace to preserve us in that trial. A temptation is something which is intended to wound us, to ruin us, and if possible, and it would be, apart from God's grace, to destroy us. A trial is for our good, in order to teach us to see the greatness of God and to trust in him. But in that trial, we are also tempted. That is, we can also be lured to perform sin, to give over unto sin. And temptation, then, is something that we must constantly resist. Satan now is going to seek to tempt Christ to sin. The common interpretation is that Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness in order to be prepared for this temptation. But that is not the correct understanding. Matthew 1, verse 13, we read, "And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan." And again in Luke chapter 4, verse 2, we read, "being 40 days tempted of the devil." The idea is not that Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days to fast in preparation for temptation, and then at the end of 40 days suddenly became aware of the devil tempting him. The idea is this: continually, for 40 days, he was tempted. There was an onslaught of the devil upon him for 40 days, and in that onslaught and spiritual warfare, he ate nothing, so intense was the struggle. He did not go into the wilderness to fast, but he went into the wilderness to be engaged in this spiritual struggle with the devil, and after this, and hungered. He was a man. He was hungry. And so that is the setting of the temptation, the first temptation. On the heels of being baptized in the Jordan River, he is led of the Spirit into the wilderness, and after 40 days of being tempted in such a way that he ate no food, we read that now Jesus was, and the devil came to him. Temptation. And remember, when the devil comes with temptations, he always aims at the spiritual jugular vein. The devil said this, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones made bread." Satan is attempting to undermine the Word of God. You will remember that in the beginning, when he picked Eve out to be tempted first, he said these words to her, "Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Always Satan's purpose is to attack the trustworthiness and the truth of God's Word. God had said from heaven, only 40 days before, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so Satan comes to Jesus, not by saying, "You are not God's Son," just as he did not come to Eve saying, "God has said you may eat of those trees." But he comes in such a way that he might create doubt concerning the Word of God. He had stood watching the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had heard the Word spoken of the Father, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now he begins to tempt Jesus. He sees that the Christ stands before him, and he says, "You have heard that you are the Son of God. You have heard that the Father is pleased in you. That is the Word of God. Well, is that true? Is that really possible? Look at you. You've been driven into the wilderness. You're suffering trouble, battle, and temptation. You've had nothing to eat for 40 days. Your physical needs are not being met by God. No provision has been laid out for you of your Heavenly Father. You, the Son of God in flesh, there's nothing here for you to meet your needs as a human. Well, now, prove then. Prove that what God said at the Jordan River is true. Use your power to help yourself and make up for this lack of bread. Speak to these stones lying around here, since your Father made them, and you turn those stones into bread and have something to eat. If the Word of God is true about you, then you can certainly do that." And so Satan is seeking here subtly to undermine the Word of God. The Father had said, "My Son, in whom I am well pleased." He says, "Well, how can that be? If you are in the wilderness, famished after 40 days with nothing." And the Lord's response, it was one. "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Our Lord sees immediately what Satan is attacking. Our Lord sees that Satan is attempting to undermine the trustworthiness, the reality, and the certainty of God's words. His answer is, "I trust the Word of God. I stand upon the Word of God. I rely upon the Word of God." "Yes, Satan, I hear you. But I will tell you that I trust God's Word in itself, and I will answer you from the Word of God." The Savior quoted at that time from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Now that passage does not imply the importance of food alone. It's not saying that bread alone is the important thing, the vital thing. But the passage is teaching us that the vital thing is the Word of God. The passage is teaching us that the central vital thing in all of our life is God's Word. That is the most important thing. That's priority. Is it priority for you? And so, the Savior was saying to the devil, yes, food is very important. And in my weakened human state, I am very hungry. But there's something more important. And what is crucial is the Word of God. And God's blessing is not to be found simply if things are going well my way, but God's blessing is to be found in His Word. The Word of God is the most important thing to me, says the Savior. The Word that God speaks concerning me, my life, what it must be, His will, that's the most necessary thing. Is it for you? You know, one can have many good things for the body. One can have many things going their way. One can be, quote, successful. But all of this can be without the blessing of God. You can have your cupboards full. You can have your refrigerator packed. You can have your bank account flush. You can have health and rosy cheeks. You can have it all your way. But unless the Word of God is your treasure, unless you cherish that Word of God and seek to live in the light of that Word of God, all of those things do you no good. And the opposite is also true. You can be going through a way of lack and trial and heaviness, and you wonder if you're going to make it, and you have fears for yourself not only, but for your family. Yes, child of God, right now today, you might be going through a very difficult way, but if by the grace of God you have His Word, you trust that Word, you cherish that Word, you desire to be obedient to that Word, you have everything. And that's the Savior's response to the devil. He is saying to the devil, Satan, I live by the Word of God. If God has said, I am His beloved Son, I believe that. I do not gauge that by the exterior circumstances of my life. Yes, for 40 days I have hungered. But I will not gauge the Father's good pleasure by my exterior circumstances, but I gauge it by His Word. The Father said it, and therefore I trust and believe it. Further, Satan, I will depend upon His will. My strength is not found in earthly bread. I do not gauge God's favor to me by my surroundings. I don't gauge it by what's in my stomach. I don't gauge it where I sleep at night. I don't gauge it by the abundance or the lack of things that I possess. I gauge the Father's favor from His Word. Do you? The Savior is saying, I trust His Word. Do you? What's priority in your life? And you see, this is why God will often bring us into ways of trial, which for our sinful flesh become temptation. Sometimes the Father will lead in ways of great trial and testing in your personal life, in your family life, in your church life. He does it in order that He might burn into our souls the wonder of the sufficiency of His Word. If you have His Word in your soul, all is well. Is the Word of God your priority? The Holy Scriptures, do you love them? Look around you. As you look around you, do you say this? How can it be that God's Word is true to me? Is that what you say? Look at all the troubles. Look at the illness. Look at the death. Look at the fact that I don't have enough to make ends meet. I'm going to go under. Look at all the hard times. Look at the despair and depression of my own heart. How can God's word be true? God says, blessed are those that trust in him. I don't feel blessed. Look at me. Look all around me. Is that the way you reason? That's the way Satan wanted Jesus to reason. That's the way he wants you to reason. The Lord responded, Satan, I do not gauge, I do not determine blessedness by what my eye sees. Oh, yes, Satan, so often the Lord's goodness is seen through the eyes too, and then we rejoice in the Lord our God. But we do not make the standard of God's favor the exterior circumstances of life. We make the standard of God's favor his word. What did he say? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That means for you today. You are to trust and believe in God's word because it's God's word. And you are to believe that word that he speaks to you in Jesus Christ of blessing. You are to believe that word above all other voices which would whisper to you it is not so. You are to believe it because it's God's word. And every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord is sure and trustworthy. Is that true for you? Do you respond to this temptation as did the Lord? May God grant it ever more so in our lives. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for these brief moments in the Word of God together. Refresh our hearts in them. And now also guide us in the week that is ahead. Bring us back together to this hour where we may return to this rich Word of God in order that we might receive the important truths that we need to withstand all temptation. In Jesus' name, amen.